Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. Thank you for being here this morning. We're about to go in the huddle, but we are getting closer and closer to opening day for baseball. You know, in the McCauley household, it's huge.
I was going to say, it's like a national holiday.
It's huge. I mean, we're gearing up for spring training, starting to map out the calendar. But I was doom scrolling through TikTok the other day, and Ozzie Albies had an interesting conundrum because he loves fish and has a massive fish tank in his home. And the pump was not regulating the air as it should have been. And he had to get in the tank to fix it himself.
Yes.
That was a terrifying video.
I saw this.
The fish that are in there are like 2-3 feet long.
They're huge, huge fish. I saw this video and they looked, and he fed them before he got in because he was trying to avoid any, any unfortunate situations,
and
any toe nibbling.
The pellets that he threw in are about like a silver dollar.
Yeah.
They look like meatballs, but they're the size of a silver dollar. They're massive.
Yeah. It was a crazy video. And anybody who hasn't seen it, his fish tank's the size of like a storage container.
Yeah.
Like it's huge, huge fish tank.
Well, yeah, one that he can get in. I mean, he's not the biggest dude, but he's in there. It's probably what, 4 or 5 feet deep, I would say.
Oh, I'd say it's deeper than that. Because when he was standing outside of it, and I don't know if it's propped up on something, he's standing outside of it, it was well over his head.
Well, yeah,
but I mean, Ozzie's like 5'4", so I'm being facetious, but he's not the tallest guy in the world.
Still, a human being getting in a fish tank. It's a massive fish tank.
They looked hungry still, too.
I wonder what that thing cost.
Oh, thousands. And I have a friend that's like Deuce Bigelow and goes around and cleans aquariums like this. But this was like a May Day situation. He had to go ahead.
Deuce Bigelow. Have you guys seen the TV show, though? The one, has he been on that? The one where they build fish tanks for, like, people?
I have not seen that.
Okay, this is like a, I don't know, DIY or whatever show, like an HGTV.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Yeah, where they go around and
I think it's called, like, Tanked or something like that, maybe?
Yeah, it might be. It actually might be. That might be the name of it, where they go around and build fish tanks. Yeah, build fish tanks for people. Surely he's been on that show. Like, that would just be a match made in heaven.
Right.
But that was great. I saw that video, and I was like, man, this guy, he dumps, like, the bucket of pellets in there, and then he's like, okay, now that they've eaten, I'm going to get in. I'm like, no! No,
I know. I'm like, I'm glad we're seeing this video like afterwards because we know you're okay. But he was even nervous getting in.
You just know somebody out there was like, man, all the toe issues you've had, one of the things.
For real.
Gotta take that thing off. Don't do it, Ozzie. Hilarious, man. I love that guy.
I do too. All right.
By the way,
dang.
The show is called Tanked.
Let's go. I knew it was.
Let's go in the huddle. John Harbaugh has been fired from the Ravens after missing the playoffs. Adam Schefter reported that he got 7 requests for interviews within 45 minutes of the news breaking and a couple more since then. Now, if you do that math, because there are only 7 vacancies in the NFL for a head coach, a few teams with sitting head coaches were like, hey, John.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Hey, man. I know that we don't have an opening. Just calling to see how you're doing.
Right.
No big deal.
Just in case our situation changes.
John Harbaugh, what's up with you?
Yeah. what's it going to take, Johnny?
You up?
The other thing about this is that basically Steve Bisciotti, the owner, was the one that pushed him out and that the Ravens front office was completely against it. And it sounds like Bisciotti wanted, I'm assuming I'm saying his name right, wanted Todd Monken fired. And he refused to fire Todd Monken, and that the problem wasn't with Harbaugh and Lamar. It was Lamar and Todd Monken, and they didn't get along.
Wow.
So those are reports. I'm not that's just some of the things that are coming out about it. So it's
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because to me that raises the question of, okay, so now we assume once the Ravens get a head coach in that Todd Monken is going to be gone, relieved of his duties. Do you think a stipulation for John Harbaugh was that he needs to bring Todd Monken with him? And if so, does that change how you feel about him may or maybe not, you know, getting hired by the Falcons?
No, I don't. Well, I don't think that he's attached at the hip with Todd Monken. I think this was more about, this clearly shows there was internal issues with Monken and Lamar, and maybe Harbaugh a little has gotten like, I'm not going to give in to a player, you know, because this is what's best for the team. So I don't know. I'm curious what that organization, for the most part, has catered to everything Lamar Jackson has needed. They, when he first came in the league, they played the we're gonna be a run first offense, and they completely built their team around that. And when Lamar became a better, I say a better player overall as far as quarterback wise, when he could, you know, do more from the pocket and everything, they then adapted to a different system.
Yeah, I think my entire response to this situation has been not about whether or not Jim Harbaugh would come to Atlanta or whether or not John Harbaugh. It's the backfilling that now comes along with this, because not only is John Harbaugh going to get a crack at whatever job he probably wants in the NFL, but now Baltimore becomes a really attractive destination for all the other candidates that are going to be floating around out there. I mean,
well,
it just
is it though. Hear me out for a second. Take everything out of it. The biggest thing that you have to worry about is quarterback. Your quarterback's contract is up, and he's got two more years left, I think. There's no more guaranteed money, which means I would assume Lamar Jackson doesn't want to play without guaranteed money on his contract. That's going to be something to start looking at. And do you believe in Lamar? And do you believe he can stay healthy? Do you believe he can win in postseason play? He's 3-5. I'm not criticizing Lamar. Don't get me wrong. I'm just telling you there could be real questions, and the owner seemingly just picked the quarterback over the head coach that's been there 18 years.
Sure. But he also was there 18 years.
He also won him a Super Bowl and made the playoffs, like 12 times?
I just think it's now the most attractive job opening. I just think that, you know, maybe there's questions about Lamar. I don't know. But, I mean, he's a two-time MVP. He's, you know, one of the best players in the NFL when healthy, and he's under contract. So you put it with that. I think they have a really good roster. I don't know what the future holds as far as some of the players they have. But this is a situation where you can step in, and you do feel like if you're a offensive coordinator that we've talked about, yeah, you're going to say, man, I really feel like I can step in there and make a difference in year one. So it's just like I said, I'm not. My first thought wasn't exactly John Harbaugh to Atlanta or how can we make that happen. It was, man, backfilling that position in Baltimore now. Does that include some of the other people I might have wanted, like a Kubiak, which is terrifying.
Spoiler alert, all the stories in the huddle today are about firings. So we're going to move on to, I know, it's that time of year. The Lions
gloomy.
Have fired offensive coordinator John Morton after one season. Dan Campbell had taken over the play-calling duties in Week 10 after a 27-24 upset loss to Minnesota.
Anytime you lose your play-calling ability as an offensive coordinator and the head coach didn't go into the season as the head play, like the play-caller, you're gone.
Yeah.
The same as for, you were going to mention Joe Witt in Washington, I believe, the D.C.
That's next, yep.
Yeah, he lost his play calling duties as well. So that, I mean, that's almost like paperwork at this point. They were fired in the middle of the season. They just saved them dignity.
Yeah, it was the warning shot.
You're spot on. If you were hired as a coordinator on a defensive or offensive specialist, and suddenly you're firing the people under you, especially after 1 year or 2 years, whatever it may be, it's just not a good thing. I don't know. I don't know where they turn if you're the offense up in Detroit right now, but that's a team that is built to win now. They better figure it out really quick while that window's still open.
The Commanders, like Bo mentioned, did fire defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr., but Dan Quinn and offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury met yesterday, and they also agreed to mutually part ways.
Of course they did. Bo, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not trying to proclaim that we know all, but we said this a year ago about Cliff Kingsbury and that offense, that Jaden Daniels rescued them out of so many bad situations, and it wasn't like the offense was somehow operating at a high clip. He was just scrambling and making things happen. We go back to the Falcons game last year against them, and they fell off a cliff this year when Jaden Daniels was not able to do that. Marcus Mariota was fine, but that offense completely bottomed out. Even though they brought in new pieces to be able to help it out.
Yeah, we had the worst. We had the 31st pass rush in the NFL in 2024, and we were eating his ass alive last year in that game. And his and you called it. You and I talked about it. We watched film, and guess what? His His whole thing was, oh, I'm just going to just run left, run right, exactly. run up the middle. Is it man coverage? Hey, hey, if you see man, run up the middle. If not, take off to the outside. And then he did absolutely nothing with them when he couldn't, when he didn't have Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels was him. Jaden Daniels apparently went to bat for him because, you know, they had a connection and they had success together in that rookie year. I think Cliff Kingsbury might. I've come around to your logic. I think he might be the most overrated offensive coordinator in the league. If you're a Falcons fan and you want Cliff Kingsbury here as the OC or the head coach, then we can't talk.
No, thank you.
Because I told you that Joe Witt was fired because he was essentially fired in the middle of the season. They took play calling away. Well, Dan couldn't play. He couldn't call both, and he's not an offensive guy. So I think he did Cliff some he did him a favor by just saying, let's just part ways. He was fired. Let's not mince words.
Well, coming up, we've got college football semifinals happening this week. We're going to preview those games. And it's Which One Wednesday.
Which One Wednesday, hosted by yours truly. I'll go ahead and throw one out. Hey, Bo, who's the better play caller, Todd Monken or Clint Kubiak? You'll hear the answer on the other side.
That's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.